This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
On the air with us today, we have Dr. Tom Nichols, professor and director of the MTSU School of Concrete and Construction Management, and John Huddleston, professor and director of the school's Concrete Industry Management Program. How are both of y'all doing this morning?
Doing well. Thanks for having us, Scott. Appreciate it.
Tell us a little bit about the school and I guess a little history on it.
Sure. I got here last year. The school was formed in 2016, and we have two sides of the school. One side is the concrete industry management, and the other side is construction management. And each one of those house two programs. For the construction industry management, it is residential construction and commercial construction are the two programs that we have. And on the other side of the concrete house, we have production sales and service and concrete contracting. And so those four programs make up the school.
And I understand this school has been very popular and a lot of positive job placements after graduation.
Oh, yeah. Our students get jobs when they graduate. We love that. Our students do well out in industry as well. Our average starting salary last year was $75,000.
Yep,
$75,000 across the school. So we're really excited about that. It's a good program with good pay.
Now, after graduation, where do most of the students go? Is it Rutherford County? Is it somewhere else throughout Tennessee or perhaps Florida or somewhere?
So that's a little more dependent on the program that they're in. That land development and residential, most of those are more the Middle Tennessee area. The commercial construction is Middle Tennessee and kind of expands out a bit more from there. And then on the concrete side, that production sales and service, Texas to Chicago to went to Boston this past semester. And then on the concrete contracting, it's similar to commercial, kind of all around the Mid-South. So
now, years ago when you talked about concrete, it was, hey, I called a concrete guy to come out here and lay some concrete for my driveway. But it has developed so much more, and there's a lot more to it today.
Yep. So we have a lot of high schoolers that come in and give a tour, and most of their tangible dealings with concrete is a bag of Quikrete or Sackcrete. So they're used to Lowe's and Home Depot, and we get into the material science of it and how we manipulate the concrete versus, if we're going to pour in the desert versus if we're pouring on a cold day. And then on the commercial contracting side or commercial concrete side, we're talking infrastructure, we're talking dams, roadways, all kinds of bigger things than most people even think about. And the concrete you come in contact with every day that you don't even see.
Houses today, you can even build an entire house out of concrete, and that's something people didn't think about years ago.
Absolutely, and that was one thing about 2 years ago when wood prices were so high. Habitat for Humanity had to stretch their budget, especially in East Tennessee, and they came to us looking for an alternative, and you get a termite-resistant, tornado-resistant home, a lot of great benefits, and the price at that time was more in favor of concrete.
And then the concrete, I guess it holds, when you have your air conditioner working, it's got a better benefit there because it holds that cool air longer.
Yep, you are correct. And the only thing you got to watch is humidity. It does lock it in pretty well.
One thing I like to jump in on, right now we have, a couple companies out there that are printing concrete houses. And we just got our own concrete printer the students will be using this fall, and we're pretty excited about it.
So when you say printing concrete houses, are we talking kind of like one of those small printers that would print a figure out of plastic, but a much larger version of that?
Something like that. It's a nozzle controlled robotic arm is pretty much what it is, and the concrete pumps out through and it follows the pattern and builds it up on layers. It's pretty cool.
That's wild. So is that done on site whenever somebody orders a house?
Yes, it is.
That's pretty neat.
Yep.
It's wild how far technology has come.
It is, and I think 3D printing is going to be something that really takes off. I think it's just now at the ground level, and I'm excited that we're in the ground level with it. And if anybody wants to come see a concrete printed, we're doing it right now at MTSU.
So when a house is constructed out of concrete, and if you use this, you know, special printer, does it automatically cut out the holes for where electricity wires come through, where, you know, water comes in? What does it do there?
So that one, it's programmed and it prints in a matrix. So it's going to print a wall. It doesn't print a uniform solid wall. It has cavities inside of it. And then those conduit and different things can be run through it.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, I don't think anybody would have ever guessed that would be something that is in the industry 2, 3, 4 years ago. How long ago did this come to you guys?
Came to us through a NASA grant. We were working with Marshall Flight Center, and they're utilizing the same technology, a different idea to use moon dust, position it in place with the printer, and then they're hitting it with a laser. But all of that technology has an applicable place here on Earth. So an interesting partnership there. We were able to help them with some of their concrete cracking issues when they were printing, and that's how we got involved with it.
So in the construction of commercial buildings, what are we looking at there as far as what students are learning, and are they building or learning how to build some of these larger skyscrapers out there?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have, when you take a look at, you know, the construction field, you have, you know, means and methods. So how does this go together? You know, what do you need to put it together? To estimating the project, how much is it going to cost? You know, scheduling the project, how long is it going to take? All of our students take all of these classes to prepare them to do those types of things. And, you know, the really nice thing about our programs is that we require an internship for you to graduate from all of our programs. And so our students are also getting it in the classroom and going out in the field on these big projects.
So are the internships here locally, or do some of them go, you know, let's say a state away in order to do that?
It varies. Most of them will be in the Middle Tennessee, you know, area, but there are folks that are in Georgia, North Carolina, out west in Arizona. I think we had a few folks.
Some in Arizona, some with Baker Concrete down in Texas.
Yep.
And with the Titan Stadium coming up.
Yes.
We've got some alumni on that managing that project, but we're going to have some interns out there as well.
That's pretty neat, because that Titans project is, I mean, it's massive.
It is.
A massive indoor arena, something that we've never seen here.
Yeah, if you're in construction, I mean, that is a project that you want to be part of, or at least watch, because it's going to be something amazing to watch go up.
How many partnerships does the School of Concrete have locally in order to kind of help the students get into internship positions?
One of the strongest aspects of our programs is our industry relations. I mean, last year alone, we had over 180 companies on campus. And this year, I think we're going to go well past that. We have great relationships with the concrete industry, with the construction and commercial construction industry, and the residential industry. And they're on campus. They like our students, and we're real excited about that.
Going back to the residential side, are we starting to see homes here in Middle Tennessee be constructed of concrete? And if so, is it where the whole home is built out of concrete, or just portions of it?
So we've got some. If you go over towards the area of town, Oakland and Siegel, there are some of what we call ICF, insulated concrete form homes. It's kind of like Legos for adults, stacking those styrofoam blocks together, and then the core of that is concrete, reinforced concrete. You'll see some of those in that area. The majority here in Tennessee are towards East Tennessee.
And the size of these homes built out of concrete, can they range anywhere from, let's say, 1,800 square feet to 6,000 square feet?
Absolutely. And I think there's a famous race car driver. I won't call out his name, but I think his home is about 9,000 square feet in Franklin. So, I mean,
and it's concrete.
Huge range. Yep.
Are there cost-saving measures? Because I know you mentioned, you know, the price of lumber was up and some people turned to concrete. But is the price similar to building a house out of lumber, or is it much higher?
Traditionally, before wood went up, it was about $3 more per square foot. That kind of evened out or was negative. Now it's back up a little bit as wood prices have come down, but still somewhat close. We are seeing, and you got to think long term in the construction project and the use of the facility. And you got to think about your cost savings on insurance, termite treatments, different things of that nature.
It's wild to think of all that. So you cut out that risk of termites and probably a lot of other things as well. But the concrete home, is it a lot stronger than a traditional wood structure? I mean, I would imagine it is, but I'm curious, is there a chance the walls can fall down? What do you do to keep those walls up?
Much less risk of walls falling down. Typically, the roof is still wood. In some cases, there are some concrete slab roofs. There's a famous picture, if you looked online, after one of the hurricanes went through Mississippi, Louisiana, and Florida, the only house left standing is an ICF concrete home.
Wow.
So, you know, redoing some drywall and some flood damage is one thing, but the overall structure is still wonderful.
And because it's concrete, if something like that happens, I would imagine if you had to, you could clear out the interior walls and hose down the inside.
Yep, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing then what concrete can offer.
Yeah. It is.
Yep.
So with those homes being constructed out of concrete, I would guess it takes a separate crew, one that's not, well, because, you know, most crews are used to building homes out of wood. So you have to have somebody totally different come in, a different contractor altogether.
It is a completely different contractor, and that's something in the work we talk about and what we teach students in managing the project. We talked about estimating different things like that, and it's also managing subcontractors. So that would be a subcontractor that comes in and puts those walls up.
What a cool thing. And are the floors of the home, if it's a two-story, three-story home, are those built out of concrete as well?
So they are typically built out of concrete as well. And there's a lot of different things, you know, moving from the 1970s to today, going from ugly gray concrete. There's a lot of decorative applications we can put in as well. So stamps, stains, colors, sealers, a lot of different amazing things, even carved concrete now.
And the sound that home would keep out, I mean, if you were near an interstate, I guess that too is a lot different.
Absolutely. A lot less. A lot less.
That's wild. So what are the different degrees, again, that folks can get, and what are the programs that people can be a part of at MTSU?
Oh, yeah. Again, we have four programs: production, sales, and service on the concrete industry management side, concrete contracting, which is our fastest growing program right now, is the concrete contracting, which you were just talking about, you know, and alluding to. Construction side, we have residential construction and commercial construction programs. We'd love to have everybody we can get.
It sounds like a lot of great opportunities there. And again, great job placement afterwards.
Absolutely. You know, we were at 100% last year. And, you know, I've only been here a year, but looking at historical data, we've never had a problem with our students getting jobs.
Yeah, they're entertaining between 3 and 5 job offers, so that they're kind of having their pick. And that's why we're seeing that starting salary, I don't want to say creep up, it's skyrocketed.
It has skyrocketed. And it's really amazing.
And our estimate is we could absorb our industry, the concrete side. We need about 800 graduates nationwide, and between our 5 programs across the nation, we're producing about 250 a year.
That's great. You know, in closing, if anybody would like to learn more information about the School of Concrete, obviously go to the MTSU website. But if somebody listening wants to learn more about, let's say, residential construction concrete or commercial construction for concrete, what should they search online?
You could just go on and type commercial construction methodology online in Google, and there will be a ton of information that comes flying at you. But you're always welcome just to get a hold of us at MTSU. We love to talk to folks, love to take you on tours, and just come up and see us.
That sounds
Give
great.
Give us a call.
Hey, and I'm sure you could kind of teach them the difference of a regular residential home or commercial building built out of wood versus concrete, too.
Correct.
Again, with us this morning, Dr. Tom Nichols, professor and director of the MTSU School of Concrete and Construction Management, and John Huddleston, professor and director of the school's Concrete Industry Management Program. But thank you both for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Time right now, 8:30. Stay with us. We do have more news and information coming your way next.
Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Hi, this is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. We have all the items needed to spoil your pet, toys, food, treats, and more. Whether you're a new pet parent or a very experienced one, you'll find the items and help you need here at Animal City. We are proud and thankful to be celebrating our 33rd year in the Murfreesboro community. That's Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street, right here in Murfreesboro. Please check out our Facebook page.
When I eat healthy, I can eat at Demas's. When I want to eat unhealthy, I can eat at Demas's. If I'm in the mood for pasta, I go to Demas's. If I want steak, I go there. It does not matter what I'm in the mood for. This is Peter Demas. The only thing we don't have is fried food. So it's very easy when you want to take a group out and there's that veto power person who's like, I don't want this. Well, we usually will have something that they want because we have such variety on our menu. The only thing we don't have is fried food. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Right now that time, 8:31, and with us now in studio, Beth Dye, Assistant Director of MTSU's Alumni Relations. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
And MTSU Homecoming Week, that is approaching. When is that going to be?
Very quickly, September 20th through the 21st. Those are our alumni events. The week starts September 16th through the 21st.
And tell us a little bit about what's going to happen this year.
Well, a lot of exciting things are taking place this year. Homecoming this year, second year in a row, it's a little bit earlier in September where it used to be in October. This year for our homecoming game, MTSU will be playing Duke. They'll be hosting Duke University here. So we're excited about that. But we've got a lot of things happening that week. Of course, with our new era and our new coach, Derek Mason, for the football team, we're excited about our football season. So we have lots of events just kind of leading up. We start with our Golden Raiders reunion, which is the 50th year celebration for our Golden Raiders, honoring the class of 1974. And so anybody who graduated in 1974 can be inducted into our Golden Raider Society and come to the reunion. We also induct anybody who graduated previously to 1974. And we always invite our previous inductees to come and join us for the evening as well.
And that golden number is getting closer and closer, it seems like, each year.
Absolutely is. It's great. And this is a big graduating year for 1974. So we're looking for a great group to come back and see campus and join us for the festivities.
And at the Floyd Stadium, I know there's a brand new digital billboard that is now up and active. So that's going to be cool.
Exciting. Yes. They have a new scoreboard there in the stadium, a video board. It's amazing to see. So lots happening there for the football game.
Now, is this the first year that Coach Derek Mason is doing this on his own, or was it last year? When was that?
This is the first year.
First year, mm-hmm. Okay. So yes, that's going to make it more exciting for sure.
Yes, yes. And to celebrate this new year, new era for homecoming, but all of the home football games, we're going to have concerts in the Grove. So we're going to start with a lot of pregame activities. But for homecoming, we're going to have on that Friday, like I said, Golden Raiders and then our alumni awards. And on that Saturday, we're going to start the morning off with our Mixer on Middle homecoming watch party. We host that at the Alumni House, and you can come and get a bird's eye view of the homecoming parade right there as it comes down Middle Tennessee Boulevard. And then we'll pivot from there over to Walnut Grove for our tailgate activities. We're going to host a luncheon with BRAA. And then there's going to be a concert on the Grove. Lots of fun things happening. Our theme this year is Blue Raider Rodeo. And we partnered with our student government, SGA, who are hosting all of the homecoming parade activities as well.
So for those listening who want to be a part of this, who want to go out there and tailgate, can anybody go? And if so, are there other areas where people can tailgate?
Absolutely. There's areas areas all around the football stadium, but the place to be is going to be Walnut Grove. Lots of opportunities to tailgate there. Alumni will be hosting that tailgate luncheon. There's a large tent there, and you can register at mtalumni.com to take place and come to our tailgate. That will be catered by Slick Pig Barbecue, which is fantastic, and we're looking forward to that. But there's also lots of kids' activities, students' activities there. Once the parade is over, the students that participate with their floats will be parking their floats along that area on Walnut Grove, so you can kind of see firsthand some of those floats that they put together. And like I said, there's going to be a concert that afternoon. We're still finalizing the artists that will be performing. And then you're going to follow everybody to Floyd for the game that evening against Duke. It's really exciting.
Now, if somebody is not familiar with the campus, where is Walnut Grove? Where is that area?
Walnut Grove is kind of the center over by Peck Hall and Cope Administrative Building. And that's kind of where you enter off of Main Street. You kind of follow that back. And it's the big loop area between Peck Hall and Cope Administrative Building.
And again with us this morning, Beth Dye, Assistant Director of the MTSU Alumni Relations. And let's go back to the Golden Raiders, the class of 1974. How do you go about contacting this class to say, hey, we want you out here for homecoming?
Well, we prepare for this months and months in advance, where we get our list together and check out who graduated in 1974. We've sent out postcard invitations to everybody and email invitations. And then we got a little committee together to kind of invite, you know, fellow classmates from 1974, since we have a lot of folks who are very involved with BRAA and athletics and just campus activities.
So when you're reaching out to these folks, do most of them live still in the Middle Tennessee area, or are they literally all over the nation?
They're all over the nation. We have a lot that are still fairly close within the Middle Tennessee area, but we have people all over. And the great thing about this reunion is that we do have folks that come from all over to be part of the reunion.
And again, the MTSU homecoming, what is the date of that once more?
Saturday, September 21st. The week starts September 16th and runs through the 21st. Our alumni events start on the 20th, and then they end on the 21st for that homecoming game against Duke.
Sounds great. And can you buy tickets online?
Yes, you sure can. Now, if you're an alumni, you can go to our MT Alumni website and our homecoming page, and we have discounted tickets for all alumni. Otherwise, you could go to the BlueRaider.com site and you can purchase tickets for that game. And they are going quickly, so make sure you're a part of that great day.
Sounds great. Now, is there anything we left off, or have we covered it all?
I think we covered it all. We do have, on that Friday evening, September 20th, we have our alumni awards reception where we highlight our distinguished alum. We have Peggy Shabrian, Lexi Phillips, Leah Lyons, Judy Goodwin, and Kristen Gallant, and David Ogg. So we have a list of alumni that we are awarding, and we're really excited. These folks have done a lot. They're our Young Alumni Achievement, True Blue Citation, Achievement in Education, both faculty and alumni, and then service to the community and military service. So it's a great opportunity for us to celebrate our alumni and then have folks come and be a part of that as well.
Now, those alumni receiving the awards, they're all ages. They're not necessarily class of 1974.
No, that's all ages. Yes, absolutely.
That sounds great. Again, the MTSU homecoming coming up, and with us today, Beth Dye, Assistant Director of MTSU Alumni Relations. And Beth, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Right now, that time, 8:40. Stay with us. We do have more news and information coming up.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here, and so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
CBS News Brief. Democrats come together in Chicago today to kick off their party's nominating convention. Former Biden aide Anita Dunn is part of a super PAC supporting Kamala Harris.
Where we are today is a unified party that is excited, that is energized, that's looking forward, but also recognizes that this is a very tough race.
Secretary of State Blinken's wrapped up a three-hour meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Tel Aviv ahead of more Gaza ceasefire talks this week.
It's time to make sure that no one takes any steps that could derail this process.
Netanyahu describes today's meeting as positive. Massive rains have washed out roads in western Connecticut. Monroe Police Chief Keith White.
Several of our roads have been compromised. We have a bridge that is completely washed away, and several edges of the roadway have been compromised and have washed into the ravine.
The weather triggered a mudslide in Danbury. More than 40 people were rescued from a state park. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Bud's Tire Pros is part of the nation's premier network of independent, locally owned and operated tire dealers. You'll get reliable service and better prices in addition to great brands like Michelin and BF Goodrich Tires through their exclusive promotions and rebates you won't find anywhere else. All tires and automotive service, including brakes and alignments, are backed by the nationwide warranty, including free roadside assistance with every purchase. For local service you can trust, visit Bud's Tire Pros, located in Murfreesboro, or call them at 896-TIRE. That's 896-8473.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Right now, that time, 8:43. With us right now, we have Ray Wiley, Associate Director of MTSU's Campus Recreation, and longtime Red Cross volunteer Gene Baker, and Senior Account Manager of Donor Services for the American Red Cross. How are both of y'all doing this morning?
Wonderful.
Doing great. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, tell us what is coming up that folks need to know about.
Well, we have our annual blood drive. It's a friendly battle between MTSU and WKU and tag team together for 100 miles of hope to help people who are in need of blood donation.
And this has been going on for years and years.
15 years, 13 as a competition. But yes, many, many years of collecting a lot of blood.
And it's interesting because here in Middle Tennessee, we actually have a lot of WKU graduates as well. But they're often going to MTSU to be a part of the blood drive.
Yes. And we're happy for that, too. It brings out the friendly competition, but we both recognize what we're doing and why we're doing it.
And tell us a little bit about where this blood goes whenever somebody donates.
Well, it goes, we have a processing center in downtown Nashville, Charlotte Avenue, and that's where the blood goes immediately to be processed and tested. But a lot of it stays here in Middle Tennessee to serve our local hospitals, but a lot of it, as you know, the Red Cross has a national network of blood supplies. So if we need, for instance, right now, many blood drives down with Hurricane Debby had to be canceled. So there's disruptions down in that region, and if we have to, we'll send blood down there. That's what is advantageous about our network, is we can get blood anywhere that is needed, and any type of blood. So
if there is, let's say, a car wreck in Louisiana, and they don't have that type of blood that's needed, but you've got it here, how fast can you get that blood to them?
It depends, but it can certainly be overnighted or as fast as we can get it there in any type of transport. If there's a particular blood type that is needed, we have that advantage with our national network.
And again, this blood, you said a lot of it is used right here in Middle Tennessee, the local hospitals here.
Most certainly. We service, obviously our local community first. But you know, as needed, I being a regular donor myself, have seen, and I with our donor app, you know where your blood goes, so you can check it out. I've noticed mine has gone to Missouri here and there, or maybe down in Georgia. So I've noticed it has gone different places, but mostly it goes to our local hospitals.
That's interesting. So if you sign up for that app through the Red Cross, you can actually see where your blood that you donate goes.
We have an award-winning donor app. It's a quick, easy, free download. And it is the best thing. If you have been a donor for years, it would automatically dump all of your history into the app. So you're walking around with your health history, basically. You can see what your blood pressure, you can see your vitals were for your entire history of the day you donated blood. You see where your blood goes. You can read up about donations, about any past donations, or gather any pertinent information for today. But it's a little health tracker. You know, I can see what my blood pressure's done for the last few years. So
that's really interesting. So once you sign up, they input, let's say, from 1995.
Yeah, we go back. It goes back. I think it goes back to the 80s. There are, I think, in the 70s, we've noticed that some folks, don't quote me on that, but I know some folks said my stuff from the 70s didn't show up. So our records do go back, I would say, about 40 years or so.
Awesome. Yes, a neat thing to have and download.
Yes.
And then talking about MTSU and this history with WKU, how did all of this start?
It really got started years ago when Chris Massaro was hired as our AD in athletics. And Chris was a part of a rivalry between South Carolina and Clemson University many, many years ago. And so he brought that idea here. We were able to implement that with WKU being one of our main rivals. They were on board from the beginning. And it's been a great partnership for both communities.
And again, this is a major blood drive going on that will go on in Murfreesboro and then also in Kentucky at WKU on their campus.
Yes, on the exact same days in September, the 9th, 10th, and 11th. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of September. And it's from 11 to 6 each day. And it's going to be held on our campus at our facility there at Campus Recreation, 1848. Blue Raider Drive.
Hey, and Gene, how significant is this blood drive for the Red Cross? Is this a large blood drive or considered a large blood drive?
Most certainly my largest blood drive. MTSU is my largest sponsor, and this is their largest operation of all their drives through the year. This blood drive between the two schools has anywhere from literally anywhere from 1,000 to 1,400 participants.
Wow.
So it by far is the largest blood drive we have, and about the first or second largest blood drive we have in the region. It is very, very important, especially it comes on the heels of summer. So summer, for instance, this summer, millions of Americans have experienced dangerous levels of heat. And at one point in July, nearly 50% of Americans coast to coast were under heat alerts. So this impacted about 100 blood drives in July in nearly every state where the Red Cross collects blood. So, and this, add that to the traditional obstacles we face every summer, travel, summer activities. Summer is our toughest time of year. We had a shortfall in July of 19,000 blood donations. So we need to replenish that. This drive comes at a perfect time to help that supply. It happens every summer, and we plan the best you could. But blood has a 42-day shelf life, so you can't stock up and plan for the summer.
Yeah,
like any other product. You have to continuously, every day. Our country needs 29,000 units of blood every single day in this country to meet patient demand. And that product has a shelf life. So it's blood drives like Ray's here come at a great time and are very, very significant for replenishing our supply.
So do hospitals, do they stock blood on hand for, let's say, 35, 40 days at a time?
Yes.
After they get it from the Red Cross?
Yes, they do. We, you know, we have our center downtown that keeps it. But yes, as needed, it is shipped there in stock, but it's pretty much shipped as needed. So that's why our local hospitals are key. Our transport is quicker there, but hospitals do have storage. But once again, it only it only lasts so long. So it's just a constant feeding of this engine that is needed. I keep going over that number, 29,000 units every single day in the U.S. So that's a lot of blood for a lot of patients, and there's only one way we get it, from other people. We can't make it. We can't buy it at a wholesale store or from Amazon. So that it comes from people.
And that 29,000, that's the amount of blood used nationwide every single
every
day.
Every single day. Yeah,
that's hard to imagine.
It's, you know, a trauma event. Could be 80 to 100 units for one person in one traumatic surgery, you know. So you think about a lot of surgeries, one or two units, but there's some gunshot victims, trauma victims that need dozens for one surgery sometimes. So
it's really amazing to think about that, and then all the injuries across the nation. Everything from car accidents to somebody giving birth. There's all of these issues that come up, or all these events in hospitals where blood is needed.
Blood is needed. And a lot of our blood donors, it's something that's affected them personally, why they donate blood. It is a personal thing to them. I would like to just challenge people who maybe don't think about it or haven't known someone with cancer or need. You will eventually, everybody in this country will be affected, will know somebody that needs blood sooner or later. And we all, I think all of us in this room, as the older you get, folks that have had cancer, folks that have had complications at birth or have been in an accident. We especially with young people, want you to know that, this is going to affect you one day. So get out there and be a regular blood donor. To me, I've got 350 units under my belt. It's one of the most rewarding things I do. It's an instant, to me, it's instant gratification on giving back something very powerful.
And the limits on giving blood, like let's say somebody has, they take a certain kind of medication, or maybe they've had cancer in the past. Can those people give blood, or is there a list of items or general items that say, no, you can't give, yes, you can give?
Most certainly. Good question. We urge them to call our medical hotline at 1-800-RED-CROSS. I answer some basic questions, but there's a lot of confidentiality involved. There's a long list of medications. I basically tell folks, if you're not on an antibiotic right now, there's a very good chance you can donate, but please call if you're unsure. Some cancers, if you're cancer free for a while, you can come back and donate. Some are permanent deferrals. Just there's so many variables, and I don't have a medical background. My background's more of a marketing background, so I don't try to play doctor. I just say please call 1-800-RED-CROSS and ask those very good questions. Chances are, if you are not on an antibiotic right now, you're chances are you're good.
So a lot of people out there are eligible to donate blood. And again, this big event is coming up on the MTSU campus. What is the date?
9th, 10th, and 11th of September. So it's coming up really, really fast this year. Normally, we have a little bit more time to recruit. But we're just grateful to be here this morning and try to get the word out quickly to let people know about our event. Good news is we'll have parking spaces reserved out in front of the recreation center. So if people will schedule an appointment through redcrossblood.org, then they can sign up and we'll get them in just as quickly as we possibly can there at our facility on the 9th, 10th, and 11th. Of September.
Now, tell them about the trophy in the game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I did say it was a friendly competition, but there is a really nice trophy at stake. and we do try to obviously keep that rivalry alive by doing our absolute best, because we know how important it is. And we bragging rights are always a big thing, especially between MTSU and WKU. So yes, there is a nice trophy presented to the winning school that collects the most units of blood. And it's typically presented in the third quarter of the football game, depending on where the game is held.
So MTSU will be taking on WKU, and it'll be at that football game that they talk about the winners. And how has MTSU done in the past as far as taking home that trophy for the blood donations?
Seven It's a traveling trophy. MTSU's held the trophy 7 times. WKU's held it 5 times. So, 2 years we didn't have it for COVID. So took a 2-year break. So
WKU is catching up then, 5-7.
Yes. Yes. So we are looking forward to the challenge this year. We're encouraging everybody to come out and give to support, obviously, MTSU, but more importantly, support the Red Cross mission to help protect our community with blood donations.
And the turnout, do you have a lot of students and a lot of faculty members out there?
We do. We're very successful. This is one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this drive every year, is because it brings out the best of our campus. We have, you know, our faculty and staff. Of course, many, many of our students will come out, and many times we'll have first-time donors. And we're always impressed by how many people will roll up their sleeves the very first time, just kind of conquer their fears and go, you know what, I need to do this. And, you know, their blood's checked before they give. And if their iron level's at the proper level, then they're welcome to give. And when they do, it just, like Gene said, it makes you feel amazing to know that for every unit of blood collected, you could save up to 3 people's lives with that one donation. So this is a worthy cause. And our faculty, staff, and students have rallied behind for many, many years. And we're excited to host it again this year.
And the really neat thing that Gene was talking about, you can download that app from Red Cross and actually see where the blood you donate goes.
You can, and I've enjoyed getting the results to see where my blood's gone. So when you see that it goes to Vanderbilt Children's Hospital, which mine has gone a few times, or it goes out of state, sometimes it stays here locally, like Gene had mentioned previously, but it's a pretty neat thing to be able to see where that blood, your blood goes.
Great stuff. And again, this is on the MTSU campus, the big rivalry between MTSU and WKU with the Red Cross Blood Drive, and the dates again, September 9th through the 11th. And this whole thing is titled 100 Miles of Hope. And once more, it is coming up. You can learn more about it on the MTSU website. We appreciate both of y'all joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Again, with us this morning, we had Ray Wiley, Associate Director of MTSU's Campus Recreation and longtime Red Cross volunteer, and also Gene Baker, Senior Account Manager of Donor Services for the American Red Cross. Time right now, 8:58. Stay with us. We do have more news and information coming up right around the corner.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.